This is New England Public Radio News. With summer in full swing, one of the nation's largest Shakespeare festivals is celebrating a big anniversary this year. Reporter Rebecca Shear takes us to Lenox, Massachusetts, for the story of Shakespeare and Company's four decades of dramatics, on and off stage.
In a 400-plus seat theater near downtown Lenox, actors are rehearsing one of the last and least known of William Shakespeare's 37 plays, Cymbeline.
So bravely done, so rich, that it did strive in workmanship and value.
This is true.
John, do it one more time. The erotic was in there, but can you up the erotic, please?
Sure.
The director requesting more erotic is Tina Packer. She's the namesake of this theater, the Tina Packer Playhouse. It's her first time directing Cymbeline, and now that she has...
I have worked my way through the whole canon, and some of them, like Midsummer's Night's Dream, I've probably done eight times in my life.
The first was in 1978, the year Packer founded Shakespeare and Company. It was the troupe's inaugural play, and they performed it at The Mount, Edith Wharton's estate and the company's original home. Packer says they threw it together in 10 days.
But it was an enormous success in the community, so we extended its run, and we had a terrific time, and that's how we began.
As for how the whole idea of Shakespeare and Company began, well, we have to go back to Packer's native England, where she was an actor in film, television.
Including the one that follows me everywhere still, which is Doctor Who.
But mostly theater.
And I had ideas about what I thought theater was about.
Especially Shakespeare.
I knew every time I did a Shakespeare play, I'm talking about as an actor now, I would grow exponentially through what I would see that I hadn't seen before, about humanity, about political structures, about the way we interact with each other.
So she decided to tackle the Bard as a director.
So that I could have power to do what I wanted to do in the theatre. And I made the switch very quickly. Actually, I walked out of the television I was doing.
Fast forward to 1978. Packer nabbed a grant in the U.S. and started her company. Not in a thriving theater hub like New York or London, but in the Berkshires.
I wanted to see, can a classical theater company have an effect on a community? You know, in New York or London, you can't tell what impact you're having on the community. So I wanted an identifiable community.
The troupe took up residence at The Mount, and current artistic director Alan Burroughs, who joined the company as an actor in 1989, fondly recalls performing all over the estate, in the house, the stables, and outdoors, in the main stage theater.
Basically, you had the largest usable outdoor space in the country. It was 100 yards wide. We could bring horses up onto the stage and trucks. I remember doing Taming of the Shrew and we couldn't get the pickup truck to start in a downpour.
And then on clearer nights,
in front of an audience of about 700 people, you would have the moon rising up above the pines while Shakespearean text was being delivered in total silence.
But Shakespeare and Company didn't just perform Shakespeare. They started a training program for actors and an education program for schools. Kevin Coleman developed the latter.
One little girl in a workshop, it was a 45-minute workshop, and she was playing Ophelia. And at the end of that workshop, she said, "I've learned more about Ophelia in 45 minutes than I have the last 4 weeks we've been reading it in the classroom."
During Shakespeare and Company's earliest years, they performed two or three plays a season. By the 1990s, it was more than a dozen. But with this growth came growing pains. Ellen Burroughs says funds were so tight in the late 90s, they did what Shakespeare's troupe did and had actors handle the administrative work, from publicity to the box office. Burroughs started a pub.
Which, you know, largely meant that the actors' paychecks could be circulated back through the pub.
Once they were in the black, they hired staff to take over. But it wasn't long before another challenge arose. Major tensions between the theater company and the nonprofit that owned The Mount.
And in any tenant-landlord situation, there are going to be different priorities, different visions, different agendas.
After a drawn-out legal battle, Shakespeare and Company relocated to the sprawling 30-acre campus that once housed the Lenox School for Boys.
So then we built a theater out of their gymnasium.
They built another theater out of their hockey rink.
And their dorms became our apartments.
That was in 2001. Just as before, the company kept performing on stage, training actors, and teaching Shakespeare in schools. But behind the scenes, the drama continued. At one point, the company created a new position, executive director.
Basically, when the executive director was brought in. There's a culture here that he maybe didn't understand. And then there were miscommunications. And when misunderstandings are accelerated, then they can become very acute.
So acute that what happened next was straight out of a Shakespeare play. An artistic director was ousted. The executive director resigned. Turnover and turmoil swept the company's board. After a pair of interim artistic directors steered things for a spell, Burroughs was hired in 2016.
When I came in, stability was a real priority. Making sure that everyone was heard, making sure we put ourselves on a firm financial footing, and now we're going to kind of steady the ship.
Burroughs plans to add more American classics to Shakespeare and Company's repertoire, to foster new work through playwriting workshops, and to bring company productions to New York, the very place Tina Packer avoided back in 1978.
Had you decided to do it in a big city, do you think the company would have lasted this long?
I don't think it would have. Let's just say we'd have done it in New York. We would never have been able to have the leeway to make the mistakes we did.
Instead, they now have nearly 200 people on staff. More than 10,000 actors have gone through the training program. More than 1 million students have done the education program.
So can a classical theater company affect a community? The answer is yes. You know, we're not just teaching the kids of the kids now. We're teaching the kids of the kids of the kids.
And performing for them, too. Nowadays, nearly 33,000 patrons flock to Shakespeare and Company's plays each season to experience the Bard in the Berkshires. For New England Public Radio, I'm Rebecca Shear.